So that's Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour, at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Amen. Misha, would you like to come up? I'd just like to pray with you before you bring that message. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Misha. We thank you for the message that you have laid on his heart. Lord, we ask that you would make us a teachable people this morning. You'd open our ears. You'd open our minds. You'd open our hearts. You'd open our eyes. Lord, that we would receive that that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that the words that we will hear will be a blessing to us and a blessing to Misha too. And we ask that you would bless him and give him your amazing and eternal peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Greetings in the name of the Lord.
When we put our trust in Messiah, repent and walk with him, we gain a new citizenship. We attain a new passport that, thanks to the complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross, allows us to become residents in his kingdom. In fact, better than that, we become sons and daughters, heirs of such a rich inheritance that he, God the Father, has prepared for us since the beginning of time and eternity. Ephesians 1 verse 11 declares, in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And in Philippians 3 verse 20 to 21, Paul reminds us of this fact when he writes, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. So as we look at the text this morning, how can we apply this to our current situation? How does the guiding of the Holy Spirit want to convey the truth of the scriptures to us at this time? Looking at verses 1 and 2. Being raised with Christ, we are exalted to seek those things above, where he is seated at the right hand of God, and to set our minds on the things above, not on the earth. Now Jesus tells us, doesn't he, that we're off this world, we're in this world, but not off it. And the Lord knows that we have needs and issues in our life, doesn't he? It's family, money, health, all these sorts of things. But he wants us to be set free from those. He doesn't want us to be laden down. If you think, for example, of a balloon, if you've seen an air balloon up in the countryside, it's a beautiful sight, isn't it? It's floating up in the clouds and that. But we can be like balloons in our life. We can be tethered to the ground by those ropes. The helium's going up into the balloon, but there's weights in the basket. And so we're just stuck to terra firma, as it were, stuck to the surface of the earth. And it's only when we cut those ropes free that we can start to ascend. We can go into those heavenly places with Jesus. We can be in that place of relationship with him. And when we rise up, we get a better view of all that's around us, don't we? When we're stuck on the ground, we can only see what's in front of us immediately. But when we go into the sky, we see a big panoramic view. And that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be set free from those things. The scriptures declare, don't they, that every hair on our head is numbered. That not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Father knowing about it. And there's many other illustrations. For example, you know, Jesus talks about the lilies of the field, doesn't he? And he says that Solomon, in all his grandeur and wealth and splendour, didn't have the beauty that these lilies had. And yet they're here today and gone tomorrow. So if we can get to that mindset, if we can let go of those earthly things, and they're very real, the Lord knows all those issues, particularly with family and health and things like that, they do tie us down, but he understands. And we need to remember this, that God, one of the titles for the Lord in the Bible is Yahweh Jireh, or Jireh, and it means God will provide. You know, we saw his provision in the desert, didn't we, in the wilderness with the children of Israel, providing manna for them every day. So he will provide. We just need to get into that place, don't we? But it's so easy, isn't it? You know, we live in a material world, as Madonna said, and, it's so easy. We need those things, but then we can have wants. You know, we've got to keep up with the Joneses. We've got to have that 2 weeks in Bermuda or the new BMW on the drive or whatever it is, the swimming pool in the back garden, you know. So let's not be like those people. I mean, Jesus tells us, doesn't he, that not to store up wealth because, you know, moths, rust, thieves and, you know, online fraud these days, isn't it? You know, hacking and all that. To seek the treasures, though, of his kingdom and the treasures of eternal value. And we can have confidence because Jesus, you sure, is seated at the right hand of the Father's, at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes and petitions for us daily, always, 24/7. So if we can get into that place, we can then start to develop the mind of Christ. Everything in this life is temporal, whether it's good or bad things that happen to us. Whether it's rulers, nations, wealth comes and goes, doesn't it? Even friendships, and sadly, even pain and suffering. But that does, even that doesn't last forever. And fame as well. You know, was it Andy Warhol said, in the future, everyone's going to be famous for 15 minutes or something. And that's very fleeting. It's like the lilies again, isn't it? It just wither and die eventually. And if you think about men like Stalin, Hitler, the big dictators, Mao Tse-tung, Nero, Idi Amin, think of anyone you like, the madman in North Korea if you want at the moment, they're all gone, isn't it? Everything that they tried to build, you know, Stalin's 5-year plans, Hitler's 1,000-year Reich, you know, what Napoleon was trying, everything that they've ever tried to create has come to nothing. But Yeshua, Jesus, his kingdom's here and now. And this one, this kingdom, is never going to fail. It's an eternal kingdom. And unlike all the dictators and despots, his is going to last forever. So, looking at verses 3 and 4 now. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him. I'm just going to read you now a wonderful promise that we have from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, 13 to 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of them who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring Jesus with those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are left will be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So, whether we're called home in this life or raptured, harpazo, to be snatched away, in either case, whether we go when the Lord comes for the church, we're going to be in his wonderful presence. So, given that he's redeemed us by his blood, and we have this glorious promise of salvation, a new body. I could do one of them. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, eternity, and being in the presence of Abba Father forever. We can trust him for today's needs, can't we? I mean, if we can believe in the fact that God created the universe out of nothing, that he did miracles all through the Old Testament, and he revealed himself to his people Israel, that we believe in Jesus, that he was born of the Virgin, lived a sinless life, died, rose again, ascended into heaven and coming back. If we can believe that, perhaps, we can just get a handle on the fact that he can meet our everyday needs. And so it gives us that degree of liberty to be free in him, to do the things that he wants to do. Now, to be with the Lord, we have to die physically or, be raptured sort of thing. But for our life in the here and now, we have to die as well. When we go through the waters of baptism, it's like an illustration, isn't it, of dying to our old lives and being raised in the new life of Jesus. And he wants to impart that life into us. But we have that battle, don't we, as Paul states in Romans, I do the things I don't want to do and the things I do, and it's this continual fight inside of us, isn't it? So we need to die to the flesh in this life, the old man, the old nature. And in John chapter 12, verses 24 to 27, Jesus says that, doesn't he? He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates it, his life in this world, will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me where I am. There my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour him. And we have a similar parallel in Corinthians, don't we, where Paul's talking about the seed, this time in terms of like our eternal body. But we need to sort of die to the old man inside. And that means putting all those things down, whether it's issues with sin or worries, anxieties. And we all want to be that type of believer, don't we? As Paul was saying, we all want to get to that place. And praise God, for his work of sanctification in us. And as we yield to him more day by day, we come into his presence, we will be transformed from one degree of glory to another. There's one of the most profound things I ever heard was a statement by a missionary called Jim Elliot, and he went out to South America and witnessed to the Orca Indians. And unfortunately, him and some of his colleagues were killed by these Indians. But praise God, a lot of them come to know the Lord afterwards. But he made this statement, and I'm just sort of paraphrasing it here, and it goes along the lines of, he is no fool who gives up that which he knows he cannot keep to gain that which he knows he cannot lose. And we've got nothing to gain from this world, We've really and truthfully, there's nothing to be had. It's, the enemy's playground, if you like. All these things, these enticements and all the things that would seek to take us away from the Lord, they belong to the enemy. So let's not, let's be like the balloon. Let's try to cut free those ropes and ascend up into the heavenlies with Jesus. And Hebrews 4, doesn't it, encourages us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As I said earlier, we can go to Jesus any time, and he is our great high priest. Yes, he's there for, praise God, for forgiveness of our sins, if we go to him and repent and he turns us around again. But he knows all our needs. He knows all our weaknesses, doesn't he? In Psalm 103, it states that he knows that we are but dust, like the flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. But later on in the same psalm, says that from everlasting to everlasting, his love is with those who fear him. And if any of you are here this morning and you know the Lord as your Saviour, you've given your life, you've confessed him as Lord and asked him to forgive you, then we are those who fear him. We are in that relationship. And we can come, as it says in Hebrews 4, into that place with Messiah to know the fullness of all of him, the forgiveness, but also his provision for our life. Think of it like this. For us guys that are married, okay, and those who are aspiring to be married in the future, you know, when your bride comes along, what we as husbands try to do generally, we should be doing anyway, is always trying to support our wives, to love them, to honour them, to support them in all sorts of ways, emotionally, spiritually, etc. So, and that's a commandment, isn't it, that we're given in the scriptures, to love our wives as Christ loves the church, you know. And that's something we, as husbands, we should all be aspiring to, trying to do. But look at the bigger picture here. We, all those that love the Lord, are the bride of Christ. He's coming back for us. Now, if we as husbands, with all our failings and all that, love our wives and try to do our best by them, how much more will the Lord Jesus, us being his bride, want to give us? He's going to want to provide for us. He's going to look after us spiritually. He's going to love every need that we have. We can come to him and he will meet that need. It's not always our wants, not always what, you know, like I say, the new car or the whatever. So it's the needs that we have. But he will provide for those. And he'll give us abundantly more. You know, when we seek him, it first says, first seek the kingdom of God and his glory and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. So let's keep that in mind. We are going to go back. We are going to go to a wedding feast one day, and it may not be that long away, actually, when he's going to come back for his bride, his woman, if you like, sort of thing. And we then will be in that place of, well, all these things of life won't matter anymore, will they? Just, they'll be forgotten. We won't even remember them. So let's take encouragement from that. Let's try to put down those things of the world. You know, I'm talking to myself here this morning. If you speak to Glyn, she will tell you I'm one of the biggest worriers going. So this is aimed at me as much as anybody else. Like. And let's try to be in that place where we can ascend. You know, everything around us, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors really, isn't it? Let's just get into that place with the Lord. Let's start spending more time in prayer every day, getting to know him more, being with each other is really, really important as well. You know, having that fellowship, you know, coming together. Let's be encouraged to do that. And just as the old popular chorus used to play a lot in charismatic churches, it says, "Be lifted up, my soul, be lifted up into heavenly places." I won't sing it because I've got a terrible voice. "Be lifted up into heavenly places with Christ Jesus." So, friends, I just, you know, the days are short. We see what's going on in the world. We hold on to nothing in this life. Let's just lay down those things that are important to us, our loved ones, our family, praying for friends and family we love dearly, we want to see to come. Let's keep doing the right things, but let's ascend into that place. And we will feel the benefit. We will know the blessings of the Lord in our life. Okay. God bless you all. I just want to finish with a quick prayer, if that's okay. Thank you. Father, I thank you for all the people that are here this morning, Lord. And I thank you for the family that we have here. Lord, I just pray that all of us this morning will just get that bigger picture, Lord. Father, as we draw closer to you, Lord, the closer we get to you, the less we have to shout. And Father, you want to do that work in us, Lord. I know that everyone who, you just call them to come because you have a purpose and you have a will for these people in these last days, Lord. Father, I just ask that you bless everyone this week, that you give them peace and your perfect shalom and your protection be over each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah, Lord. Amen.